Thank you for listening to the Chicagoland Teens Podcast, a ministry of First Baptist Church in Hammond, Indiana. For over half a century, thousands of at-risk youth have come to know Christ and repair their lives through this vibrant ministry. It is our prayer that through this broadcast, you may feel God's love and experience His grace. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God.
Put his feet upon a rock and established his goings, and he put a new song in his mouth. Yet even praise unto our God, many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. And I'll tell you why. We can sit back here and really cut from the same, I think, tree, me and Brother James and so many others in this room. I'll tell you why, because if it wasn't for Jesus, my friend. I'm telling you right now, there'd be no hope for me preaching tonight, my friend. If it wasn't for Jesus, I'll tell you right now, Brother Menahem, I'd probably be in jail, Brother James. I'd be stuck in jail. For one, for Jesus, Brother Torres, who would have known where you would have been, my brother, my friend. And I'll tell you, look around this teenager, Miss Han. I want y'all to know that if God can reach down and save Brother Torres, and if God can touch Brother Sean, and if God can touch Brother Davenport, and if God can touch Brother James, and if God can touch these college students, and if God can touch me tonight, there is no limit to what God can do in your life, teenager. She sang up here, I know my Redeemer liveth. And I want to tell you, friend, that the witnesses could not get their testimonies to agree, my friend. They brought him before Pilate, and Pilate could not condemn him. In fact, he washed his hands and said, I'm free from the I'm innocent from the blood of this man. And he should have listened to his wife, because his wife told him, this man has no fault. He has done nothing wrong. And even they led him before Caiaphas, the high priest, and he could not condemn Jesus. Finally, they took him before Herod, and they took him before the king, and the crowds cried out, crucify, crucify. And finally he was led away, my friend, by the Roman soldiers, and they gambled over his garments. And there they told him, if you're the Son of God, then testify who hit you in the face. And they gambled over his garments, and then they led him astray to a hill called Calvary. And when they led him to Calvary, there was a man, Simon, and he held him carry the cross, because he'd been so beaten and he'd been so tortured for testifying that he was the Son of God, that he was God. And then they put his cross right in the middle between two thieves, and right there the Bible says that he cried out, it is finished. And he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And even one of the thieves looked over and he said, God, if you're really the person that you say you are, I'm paraphrasing, would you remember me when you come to your kingdom? And I'm glad that he looked at him and he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And that's the reason tonight I can tell you with all my heart and with all my soul that I know that my Redeemer liveth, my friend. Why? Because he lives within my heart. Don't tell me that he's dead. Don't tell me that he's not alive. Don't tell me. I don't care what Oprah Winfrey has to say tonight. And I don't care, my friend, what all the society has to say tonight. Don't tell me that Jesus is still in the grave. I'm glad that I serve a God who was laid in the grave on Friday night, and he laid in the grave on Saturday night. But I'm thankful that on Sunday morning the ground began to break and the stone was rolled away, and God raised up Jesus from the dead. Don't tell me that Jesus is not alive. Don't tell me he hasn't given me a reason for living, my friend. I thank God he's alive tonight. I'm glad that he's still on the throne, my friend. God's not sick. God doesn't feel bad. God hasn't checked out. He's not dead. He ever liveth to intercede for me, my friend. I'm trying to tell you. The Bible says that the gods of this world, they have eyes, but they cannot see. They have ears, but they cannot hear. They have hands, but they cannot touch. They have feet, but they cannot go. And their gods are dead, my friend. But I'm thankful. When I bowed the knee this afternoon, there was a God who met me there. There was a God who answered my prayer. There was a God who is alive, my friend. And all we want is for you to have a relationship with that God, my friend. He's the God that's alive. Mrs. Torres, good to see you. Two more years and your generation is up, right? Yeah, my. I need you to pay attention tonight. Tonight I'm going to deal with a subject that we have struggled with at a time or two. In fact, growing up in the inner city, it's very prevalent. And it's something that can drag us down. And I want to help you tonight with a little study on this subject. Look at Psalm 40, verses 1 through 3. Psalm 40, verses 1 through 3. Whew, I know my Redeemer lives, praise God. I know he lives, friend. I know he lives, friend. He helped my mama get through to the toughest times of her life. Don't tell me he's dead, friend. I know my Redeemer lives, my friend. He helped my sister. We had no daddy growing up, Miss Candace. Insecure, but he saved her and kept her pure for the glory of God. Don't tell me my Redeemer's not living, my friend. I know my Redeemer lives tonight, friend. Took this boy from the east side of Long Beach and gave him a reason for living. I know my Redeemer lives, my friend. Don't tell me I can wake up in the morning and see the smiles on my two children's face and see the sunset and the sun rising and tell me, my friend, he's not a God that's dead, my friend. He's very much alive. I'm trying to tell you, friend, he's the God who is alive and he ever liveth to intercede for us. Don't tell me he's dead. I know my Redeemer lives, my friend. I know I can talk to him and I talk to him today. Oh, thank God for that. I talked to him this morning. Now, let's read verse number 1. The Bible says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put, notice what the Bible says, a new song. A new, talk to me, teens, song. He put a new song in my mouth. Even praise unto our God, many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Let's read verse number 3 together. Ready, begin. And he hath put a new song. Just for a few moments tonight, I'd like to speak to you on this subject. Pay attention. A new song. A new song. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege it is to gather in this place. I thank you for all the activities and for all the labor, God, and for all the love that has been poured in to these teenagers, God. Even before I got here, you were already at work. I don't want to mess what you're doing up, God. I pray that you would speak through me, that I would not let any of the words fall to the ground. I pray, God, that you'd fill me with that sweet spirit in your presence, God. I do love you as best as I know how. I ask you humbly that you would speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, there's an indication in verse number 3. The Bible says that when he was brought up out of a miry clay, when God established his goings, when God put praise in his mouth, the Bible says he gave him a new song, indicating that previously there was an old song. If there is something new, that means something old had to be taken out. And I want to say this tonight, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. All things are passed away. All things are passed away. Old songs. Old songs. Old music is passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, right here in this passage of scripture, I want to give you some groundwork. The Bible says that many shall not hear it, but many shall what? See it. It's interesting because we often think that music is something that you can hear, but in fact, biblically and spiritually speaking, it is something that we see. You see, when I got saved, God replaced a lot of old things in my life with a lot of new. I'm trying to tell you that there was a way that I used to talk, and when I got saved, God gave me another way to convey myself, to have a dialogue or a conversation. Old things are passed away. Before I got saved, I used to look at things I had no business looking at, but when I got saved, God allowed me to look at things that I should look to. You with me tonight? And one of the things that all of us struggle with, all of us, especially I remember being a teenager growing up in church, I struggled immensely with music. I could not get my music right. And listen, I'm not up here to hurt you. I'm up here to help you. I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching for you. Now listen, please pay attention. God says something about music. And what he says is a song is something that is not heard. It is something that is seen. That's why tonight there's some of you, I don't see a new song. Why? Because you're still with the old song. What am I trying to say? You've come to an independent Baptist church. You stepped inside a bus route or an area and somebody's picked you up and you have come to church. You have participated in the activities. You know all about the songs that we sing. You know all about the games. Perhaps you know how to play church, but the truth of the matter is that you don't have any idea on what it is to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not asking for a movement of people being saved tonight, although I know because Brother Caleb told me there were 6 people saved this morning and 11 last Sunday night. And so that's 17 all written down in the NAMS book of life. I want to say tonight that perhaps there's somebody thrown out there by conviction of the Holy Spirit. You've come to church and you've sung the songs of Zion. You've even said praise the Lord and amen. But my Bible says that many shall say in that day, Lord, did we not cast out devils in thy name? Lord, did we not participate? And the Bible says, we'll have to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. And one of the glorious things about my life, my friend, is the fact that when I die and I cross on the other side, I'll have no plea as to which way I should enter in heaven's kingdom. There'll be no reason why this boy from the east side of Long Beach should cross over, and the flames of hell will never touch my feet, and the flames of hell will never touch my head, and the flames of hell will never touch my hands. There is no reason for that other than the fact of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to say this tonight. Perhaps there's some of you girls, you have no idea who Jesus is. Some of you boys, you have no idea who Jesus is. I want to say tonight that hell will be a lot harder for you, young man, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ than even Adolf Hitler. Why? Because you've come to church every week. You've heard the gospel preached. It's been in devotions. It's been in your bus route. Your bus worker, your bus captain, your parent, your youth pastor has preached to you Jesus, and you still reject Christ because of your pride and because of your procrastination. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You say, I'm 12 years old. I can get saved next year. Who told you that next year will come around for you? Who told you that you'll live that long to trust Jesus? I can tell you about a man named Van. He was 16 years old when he got hit by a car, and it hit him, and he ran away, and he bled out the side of his ear. I was 12 years old. He was 16, and Van went out into eternity without the Lord Jesus Christ. And even today, for the last 18, 20 years, he's been crying out of hell, wishing that he got saved. He rode the same bus that I rode. He sung the same songs that I sung. He memorized the same scriptures that I memorized. He heard the same preaching that I heard, but he never ever came forward and trusted Christ as his personal Savior. I went tonight that some of you say, I'm done playing church. I'm done acting like I'm saved. I'm done putting on a show. I'm going to trust Jesus tonight, because if I died, I want to see him, my friend. The Bible says he put a new song in my mouth. Many shall see it. I want to ask you a question. Can people see your song, friend? Can people see your song? Do they know that you're somebody different? I'm talking about when you're at school, can they see your song? I'm talking about when you're at the mall, can they see your song? How about when you're at home, can your other family members see your song? Can they tell you got a different song when you talk to each other? Do they know you got a different song by the way that you dress? Do they know you got a different song by the way the things that you watch? Can they see your song? I'm going to make 3 preliminary assumptions. Assumption number 1, you must understand that the Bible, listen, the Bible is the most important thing in your life. And if it's not, it needs to be. The psalmist says in Psalm 119, verse number 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. The Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. That word inspiration means God breathed. That means God breathed. Listen. When you read the words of God, it is God breathed. We understand that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, and this prophecy did not come by the will of man, and this prophecy did not come by the wisdom of a man, and this prophecy is not some fairy tale. I'm trying to tell you, friend, this prophecy is true from Genesis all the way to Revelation. The words of God are inspired by God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for instruction in righteousness, for correction, for reproof, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And I want to say tonight that forever, O Lord, his word is settled in heaven. And the psalmist said this, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not what? Sin against thee. The word of God's got to be paramount in your life, teenager. I wonder what you do with the word of God this week. It would shock us if we all found out the amount of time that we spent, my friend, away from the Bible. It would shock us, my friend, if we compared and contrast the amount of time that we spent on Facebook against the Bible, the amount of time that we spent on the internet against the Bible, the amount of time that we spent watching TV against the Bible, the amount of time that we spent playing video games against the Bible. It would shock us in this room. No wonder God can't work in your life. You have not made much of the Bible, my friend. You got to get into God's word. But I'll say secondly, tangibly speaking, music is the second most powerful substance in your life. All of you struggle with this. How do you know, preacher? Because I did. I sat in a youth group from the age of 12 years old all the way to 18. And for 6 years, I believe God had my heart. I believe God was working. But I was enslaved, Brother Torres, to the wrong kind of music. I want to help somebody tonight. Are you with me? I was enslaved to the wrong kind of music. And I feel that some of you precious girls are enslaved to the wrong kind of music. I feel that some of you precious men, men with futures, men with a great amount of potential, men with a great amount of potential. Yes, you, don't look around, you. Men with a great amount of potential, you're enslaved to the wrong kind of music, friend. Thirdly, what you do with the Bible and with music will determine what God does with you. Adiel Moody said, you tell me what you do with the book and I'll tell you what God will do with you. And I want to say tonight, you tell me how your music life is. Talk to me about it in your heart. Do a little inspection. Do a little survey. Tell me how the music life is. Hey, look at me. We live in America where teenagers can't even walk up and down the streets, stop at their bus stop, and they got their headphones on. They can't be anywhere without their headphones. Hey, look at me, friend, look at me. They can't be anywhere without their headphones on. You got to go to bed listening to the wrong kind of music. And then you wake up in the morning listening to the wrong kind of music. And then you on your way to school listening to the wrong kind of music. And then we with your friends listening to the wrong kind of music. You in your bedroom listening to the wrong kind of music. And you wonder why you struggle with impure thoughts. And you wonder why you struggle with insecurity. And you wonder why you struggle with pride. And you wonder why you struggle with rebellion. And you wonder why you struggle with this rotten and dirty attitude. I'll tell you why. Because you're listening to the wrong kind of things. And you don't have a new song tonight. What to God that somebody get a new song tonight? I'm going to give you a quick study. Observation number one. I know we got time. We're good. Observation number one are the parts of music. The parts of music. I am no music scholar. I'm not like Brother Sean and the girls that were singing up here, Miss Young Lady. And I'll say this. There's three parts of music. The parts of music. Number one, talk to me is what? The parts of music. Talk to me. Number one. Melody, harmony, and rhythm. Melody, harmony, and rhythm. Listen, would you consider the trichotomy of man? When God refers to us, the way that God refers to us is spirit, soul, then body. When God refers to us, can you talk to me? God refers to us as spirit, soul, and body. Isn't it interesting that in the wrong kind of music, we switch these things up? Isn't it interesting that in the wrong kind of music, and not necessarily matter what the melody or the harmony is like, all we care about is the rhythm. It's the rhythm. I'm trying to tell you, friend, if you took the rhythm out of the nightclubs in Chicago, those things will go bankrupt. Why? Because the rhythm is what keeps people's body moving. Now, I'll say this. You do need the rhythm to keep the music together, just like you need your body to keep your spirit and your soul intact. But please understand tonight, those of you that cater more to your body, those of you that cater more to your flesh, it's no wonder why you're struggling as a teenager. It's no wonder why we struggle as Christians when we cater more to our body than our spirit and our soul. Now listen, God says those that feed the flesh will of the flesh show corruption, but those that feed the spirit will of the spirit sow and reap life and peace. Now, I want to say something tonight. Who are you feeding more? Is your soul or your spirit being fed, or is your body, your flesh, being fed? The parts of music, we have the melody, the harmony, and the rhythm. I was going to do with something tonight, but if we were to sing a song, let's sing Mary Had a Little Lamb. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Mary had a little lamb. Good. Good. Let's sing it again, but let's get some harmony involved, okay? Harmony, Miss Erica. Give me some harmony, okay? Here we go. Mary had a
little lamb. Little
good. One more time, and I'm going to drop the beat. Okay, here we go. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Mary had a little lamb, little lamb. There are some advantages to being black. We got a little rhythm with us, all right? I see some of y'all politically correct Caucasian folk. Caucasian folk. When we get so sensitive in America, call me African American. I've never been to Africa, my friend. Just an American, okay? Black, okay? That's okay, all right? Now, there's some Caucasians. All right, now listen. Melody, harmony, and rhythm. Number two, the purpose of music. We sang it tonight. Number one, the parts of music. Number two, the purpose of music. We sang it tonight. Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 11. The Bible says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created what? For thou hast created what? Talk to me. And for thy pleasure, they are and were created. They are and were created. That takes care of today, and it takes care of yesterday and the day before, okay? They are and were created. Everything that has ever been created was created to bring God pleasure. And underneath that, it was created for worship. You see, sometimes we go to church and we think, I'm not going to sing that song. And here's our thought. Here is our thought. Our thought. You see that? Here's our thought. Well, I just don't like that song, so I ain't going to sing it. But we got our thinking a little bit twisted. You see, the songs that we sing in church or the songs that we sing in our worship group right here, they're not sung for us, my friend. There is a greater source among us. There is a bigger person among us. There is one who is worthy, my friend. There is one whose feet are like brass. There is one whose eyes are like fire. There is one whose hair is like wool. John said, when I saw him, I fell down at my feet as dead. Why? And then he told him, get up, boy. Fear not, because it is I am the Alpha, I am the Omega, I'm the beginning, and I'm the end. And that person tonight is a person who deserves all the glory and all the worship and all the praise. You see, Revelation sheds some light on that. He says they are and were created. The purpose of music, my young people, is the same purpose to which God created you. That's why tonight, God is worthy tonight. Listen, God is worthy of you giving up your wrong music. Yeah, not me. Who cares about me? I don't care. Don't come tell me, well, Brother Sammy, I gave you a sub and I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to love you, but don't give it up for me. Don't give it up for your youth pastor. Don't give it up for your parents. Don't give it up for your friends, your family. You ought to give whatever God wants in your life up to him because he is worthy. Because we must praise his name for worship. Not only that, but for our well-being. What you mean? I thought you said everything had to be about God. Yeah, but see, God gives us some things to motivate us. God gives us something to give us a little bit of pleasure. Now listen, God has cheered me up so many times by listening to a good song. Yes, for your well-being. James says, is anybody among you sick? Is anybody merry? Let him sing psalms. Yeah. Do you remember in Acts chapter 16, you know what happened? Oh, Paul was in jail, right, Brother Davenport? And he was thrown into jail, okay? And the only way he was able to get out of jail was when he and Silas began to do what? What'd they do? Isn't it interesting that when they sang to the Lord, God broke the prison doors open? Now, you tell me that God did not work through that song, that God did not work through that praise. I'll tell you what can help some of you boys. When you take Wiz Khalifa off of your headphones and you put in a little bit of Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost and now I'm found. I was blind, but now I can see. I'll tell you what can help you girls if you take Katy Perry off of your earbuds. And if you take all these different artists off of your earbuds and you put in a little songs of Zion, that can motivate you. Because I'll tell you what some of you do. You listen to this garbage music and you identify with Eminem and you identify with Jay-Z and you identify with Kanye West and you identify with 50 Cent. Look at me. You identify because they were hurting in the same spot just like you were. They grew up in the same neighborhood in the ghetto just like you did, and they didn't have a father. They didn't have a mother. They grew up poor and they made it. And what the devil does, he gives you this music and you listen to it and you go lower and lower and lower and lower. Why do you think the drunks, they go back to the same bar and drink up all their money? I'll tell you why, because the devil has told them that alcohol is the answer. Go back to the same bar, drink up the same money that your wife and your children need and that the mortgage needs to be paid, but you drinking it up at the bar, and we go lower and lower and lower and lower, and that's the same lie that the devil's been selling us all these years. When you listen to these songs of Zion, you have a hard day, girls. Of course you have. Everybody has a hard day. Young men, you having a hard time? When you listen to these songs of Zion, you don't go lower and lower and lower.
Amen.
You go a little higher.
Amen.
You go a little higher.
Amen.
You go a little higher.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
After listening to My Redeemer Liveth, I feel like going on, praise God.
Amen.
After I listened at the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart was rolled away, it was there by faith that I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, and now I am happy all the day. When I hear those songs, they make me want to go home, my friend. When I hear give him the glory, great things he hath done, it makes me want to go on. The purpose of music, God created all things to worship him and for our well-being. But not only that, point number three, and we're almost done. We're getting there. Point number three is the perversion of music. Now listen to this. Aleister Crowley was a very wicked man who lived in the 1900s. Aleister Crowley said, those who wanted to learn magic should learn to read, write, and to listen backwards. He invented what was called backmasking. Backmasking, I'll tell you what it involves. It involves in your music that some of you listen to and that I listen to for so many years, it involves subliminal messages. Wicked, satanic messages. One more time. Backmasking involved wickedness, satanic messages, subliminal messages. You play it backwards? Let me give you some illustration. In Jay-Z's Lucifer 9, when it was reversed, the message was 666, murder, murder Jesus, 666. When Stairway to Heaven by the famous rock group Led Zeppelin was reversed, here is the message that it said, oh, here's to my sweet Satan, the one whose little path would make me sad, whose power is Satan. He will give those with him, 666. There was a little tool shed where he made us suffer, sad Satan. Oh, backmasking involves all these satanic messages. Also in songs by Taylor Swift. Also in songs by Garth Brooks and by all these wicked men of the day. Also in songs by 50 Cent. There are all kinds of subliminal messages that you think I'm listening to something that can help me and cheer me up. And all the time, Satan is plugging his subliminal messages into your heart and into your mind, my friend. Blasphemy. Romans chapter number 1. Verse 21 through 25, the Bible says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. Listen to what the Bible says, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, into birds and the four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to the son of their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who was blessed forevermore. Several artists have confessed selling their souls to Satan. In a recent interview with Katy Perry, she said she wanted to be the next Amy Grant of gospel music, but that didn't work out, so she sold her soul to the devil. Eminem has confessed boldly and wide open, I have sold my soul to the devil. Kanye West, I have sold my soul to the devil. The Beatles, I have sold my soul to the devil. Miley Cyrus, I have sold my soul to the devil. Bob Dylan, I have sold my soul to the devil. Lil Wayne, I have sold my soul to the devil. I have sold my soul to the devil. Bruno Mars, I have sold my soul to the devil. That person you're listening to, he, she has sold her soul to the devil, my friend. Now, if you're listening to people who have sold out for the devil, what do you think that's going to influence you to do? To be sold out for the devil, friend. Some of y'all are looking down. I'm not ready to pray. Look at me. Look at me. Some of you are selling out to Satan himself. No, I'm not, Brother Sam. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Selling out to Satan himself. He's disguised as an angel of light. Tell him he's not his words. Even tonight, there's satanic oppression in this room tonight. Telling you it's not so bad. Keep listening to it. That guy's crazy. He's an extremist. Oppressed. Possessed. The crowds are shouting out. Satanic oppression. Perversion of music. Perversion. Number four, the practice of music. The Bible says in Acts 4:20, listen to what the Bible says. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and the things which we have seen and heard. You can't help to do that. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are a good report, whatsoever things are just, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. If there are any virtue, power, and if there's any praise, ponder, if you will, these things. Listen. Someone said, you are Jean Brilliant Sovereign. Just what she said. You are what you eat. And I want to say with music, you are what you listen to, my friend. You are what you listen to. One of the most heinous shootings in United States public school history was recorded on April 20th, 1999, when in the Columbine High School, Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold were both followers of the very infamous rock star Marilyn Manson. You look it up, documented, followers of Marilyn Manson. A slaughter that day, 12 died, 12 lost their lives as they went through the hallways shouting, Marilyn Manson rules. Marilyn Manson rules. They loaded their guns with ammunition. They went all throughout the school, shooting their classmates, shooting their teachers. Marilyn Manson rules. Marilyn Manson rules. Influenced by death, Satan, demons himself. Marilyn Manson rules. You tell me what else can drive two teenagers to go throughout a public school and shoot their classmates. You tell me what else can drive two teenagers who are so sick and perverted and possessed and oppressed that they can go throughout shooting their classmates, bold-faced and executing them. I'll tell you what it is. It was the music they were listening to, my friend. I don't listen to rap music. Got your pants hanging off your backside. Got a proud look. No one can correct you. Yeah, you listening to rap music, my friend. You want to get tattoos and think it's cool? Yeah, you listening to rap music. You can't obey your parents. They're always wrong. Nobody has perfect parents. I don't have perfect parents. I grew up in a broken home. But listen, direct defiance against authority. All police, if you refer to police as pigs, yeah, you listening to rap music. If the police are always wrong, they're always out to get you, you listening to rap music. Girls, if you're always tempted to commit immorality and sexual lust and all these things, you listening to R&B music. Look at me, girls, you listening to R&B music. Guys, don't tell me that you're listening to the wrong kind of, to the right kind of music and you having a bad attitude. No, sir. You're listening to the wrong kind of music. It tells you that you're in charge. Yeah, get rich or die trying. I'm my own God. Jesus, blasphemous. I'm my own God. Jennifer Lopez in a recent interview, this is what she said about her music. I do whatever my heart tells me to do. My heart's always right. Is that not what music does to you? Does it make you feel like you always got the right thing to say? Does it always make you feel like you got the right motive? Doesn't it make you feel like God? Doesn't it make God off the throne and put you on it? Yeah, they won't tell you that. They want you guys sold out to this garbage music. You're making them rich. You're becoming poor, and you're wasting your money on all these rap stars and rock stars and R&B stars and country stars. You're wasting your money on this soft rock, hard rock, death metal, black metal. You're wasting your money on all this garbage. They're becoming richer, and you're becoming poor. Tell me how that works out, friend. Talk to me a little bit. Talk to me about how I'm trying to prevent some of you from wasting your life in sin and drugs and alcohol and sex, babies from different daddies and all that. Hey, tell me tonight while I'm trying to do that. And all you can think about is that song that I'm attacking by the grace of God. Spiritual oppression tonight. Bondage. If it doesn't have you so much, young man, then won't you get rid of it? Hey, young lady, if it's not that strong, then won't you get rid of it? But you know it's a bondage in your life. You know you can't wait to get back to the house and put it on and say, and evaluate everything that I preach tonight and justify even in your own spirit as to which why you cannot get rid of it. By the way, I hope every college student here tonight has the right kind of music too, friends. God help us. We need old-fashioned revival of mentoring and modeling the Bible and what we believe, my friend. We need an old revival of that, my friend. You take it to the bank by the grace of God. We're trying to live what we're preaching tonight. Sick of all these people, and I'm getting off track here, but we're good at preaching, and we're good at teaching, and we're good at soul winning. We're good at building bus routes, but we're not good at living the Bible, my friend. Help us a little bit tonight. May God help us to live the Bible, my friend. How about you, teenager? You in bondage tonight, huh? You're practicing what you're hearing. I don't care what you tell me. I don't care what you tell me. That's why some of you want to get tattoos. Because your favorite artist got tattoos. I'm talking about from the ankles all the way to the top of their roof, of their head. They got tattoos. You lost your mind. You have lost your mind. And here I am pleading with you. Begging you. Losing my voice. Straining, preaching against this hell garbage. And you will not give God a chance tonight. That's why some of you boys haven't looked at me one time. Haven't looked at me one time because you know I'm attacking your God. You know I'm attacking that God that's dominating you. You speak just like them. You dress just like them. You act like them. Don't tell me you're listening to the right things, my friend. You listen to the wrong things, my friend. Perversion. Practice. And I want to say this, the power of music. The Bible says in Joshua chapter 6, you know the story, verse number 5. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. Music has the power to destroy even in war, my friend. God didn't say, I want you to conquer Jericho with swords and staves and knives and all that, and shields. God says, I want you to conquer this place with the sound of the trumpet. Very powerful. You remember the story of Saul? He was tormented by evil spirit of the Lord. What happened? He fetched for that little boy, that handsome young man. And what did David do? He played the harp. And the evil spirit departed from Saul. Music has tremendous power tonight, young person. Yeah, you think it won't make you do things? It'll make you do things you never thought you could ever do. Yes, it will. Yes, it will. Yes, it will. Yes, it will. Very powerful. Very powerful. I know you struggle with it. I did for so many years. But can I tell you this? The last 12 years of my life, by the grace of God, I have been freed. I am free. Listen. I'm free. Not bonded to sin anymore, man. I'm free by the grace of God. That's all I want for you teenagers. You'll forget me. You'll forget this. You'll forget Brother Torres perhaps one day. But what I want you to forget is God, friend. Don't forget God. Don't forget his word. This can save some of you girls. If you just listen and you'll apply, if you'll do it. Hey, man, if you'll listen, this will save you. Yeah, it'll save you. Yes, it will. And not only you, but all those in your house and your future and the generations to follow, if we put into practice what God helped us with tonight. With every head bowed and every eye closed, for the Torres, if you'll come, please.